Okay, so it's been a little while since we had a chance to do a biblical people, places, and things. And a lot of people pointed out that they missed this particular shiur. I certainly have missed it as well. In the course of the number of years I've been in the shul, and that number's coming up, and certainly in the course of the time that I was in Young Israel Jamaica States, where I first started, my work in the rabbinate, that is actually where biblical people, places, and things were born, was actually born as biblical personalities. And as time went on, we started to add to it. And along the way, we've had a chance to really sort of delve into who's who in our parshios and why they're there and what they're doing and sort of develop an idea. In the ensuing years, we've always added to our concept. And you'll start to learn some of the, you'll see very obvious additions that have come into play. So tonight I want to talk about a very important biblical character. He's so critical and important that we don't know that much about him. And yet we do. We seem, if we talk to our kids, if we talk to other people, we seem to know a lot about him. I had a relative who passed away a number of years ago, who used to, he used to call what happens when people daven before sunrise, he used to call it going to Terach's Minyan. And Terach certainly is one of those enigmas that we have when we start talking about biblical people. Like, who is Terach? We know he's the father of Avraham Avinu, but do we know anything about him? Does anybody know anything about Terach? Is he a good guy? Is he a bad guy? Thoughts? Pipe in if you want. You don't have to if you don't want. But the fact of the matter is, but Terach, I think we get a certain impression of him. We get an impression, and we'll take a look and we'll see what happens. He just seems, and we'll try to figure out, exactly, who he is, where he is, what's he doing in my Chumash, and what we learn from him. So let's start at the beginning. Here's what we know about Terach. It appears in Chumash in last week's Parsha, and at the very end of Parshas Noach, we're told, Vayichi Terach Shivim Shana. Terach lived for 70 years. Vayolad es Avram es Nachor ve'es Haran. He had three sons. Who is the oldest? I don't know. We'll leave that up to you. I think I know, but I don't know. Ve'elad toldos Terach. Here is the lineage of Terach. Terach holid es Avram es Nachor ve'es Haran. The Haran holid es Lot. So right away, you should be scratching your head and asking a question. Why are we repeating this? If we know already that he was 70 years old, and he had three sons, Avram, Nachor, and Haran. Why do I have to repeat it again? Did I forget from one pasuk to the next? Was this something I was supposed to pick up within the process? So maybe it's because of the episode that appears in the very next pasuk. Vayamas Haran al pnei Terach aviv, be'eretz moladto be'or kasdim. Haran dies while his father's still alive. I assume that's what the phrase al pnei Terach aviv means. But then the Torah goes a step further and tells us it's Be'eretz Molad-to, in the place that he was born, as opposed to whom else. And then the Torah tells us it was Ur Kasdim. So I have to stop and ask myself a question. What's going on in this pasuk? In other words, once I know that he was born and that he had a son named Lot, which is going to be important for the future and the understanding of of Avram Avinu's experience, there is a lot of Lot in the next 2 weeks, this Shabbos and next Shabbos. But we find this fellow Haran dies while on the face of his father, whatever that means, in the land that he was born in, whatever that means. I know it must mean something important because Avram Avinu is told, Lech lecha me'artzecha mimoladetcha. Right, and he's told to leave. Somehow leaving Moledet makes a difference, and it was an Ur Kasdim. Fine. Then here comes Marvin, right? Vayikach Avram v'Nachor lahem nashim. Avram and Nachor take wives for themselves. Shem Eishes Avram Sarai, v'Shem Eishes Nachor Milka bas Haran avi Milka b'Yiska. Right? We know, and we get the double repeat. Hey, Marv. Right? We know when we get the double repeat that Nahor and Avram also marry within the religion, right? And the wife of Nahor is Milcah, who's the daughter of Haran, who's the father of Milcah and Yiscah. That whole, if I wanted to talk about Haran tonight, boy, I could go on forever. Just understanding that Haran himself, dies, he plays a role, and maybe one year we'll get to Haran again and see what Haran does, because he also seems to have a certain process. But the Torah wants us to keep up and work with Haran. Then we're told Vati Sarayak Harayin Lavalad, which is not relevant to Terach. It's important. It's very relevant to us. If you, I don't know if you saw the word before Shabbos, but it plays a very important role in terms of understanding who exactly is the Sarah Imenu and some of the challenges that she faces in the process. So then the Torah continues. Vayikach Terach, and let's go back, because now we've raised a lot about some of the lineage of Terach. But here's the last actions that we have. Vayikach Terach es Avram beno ves Lot ben Haran ben beno ves Sarai kalo soeshes Avram beno vayitzu itam eur kazdim laleches arza kanan vayavo ad Haran vayishvu sham. So first of all, whom does he not take? He doesn't take Nahor and Milcah, right? He only takes Avram, Lot, and Sarai, right? And he takes them from Ur Kasdim to go to the land of Canaan. And of course, when you see that, you got to stop and ask yourself, if he was already going to Eretz Canaan, then why is that such a great big thing for Avram Avinu that he went to Eretz Canaan, right? It sounds like Terach was already on the road. And unfortunately, what happens? Why did he stop at Haran? What was his point over there? So then we're told at the end of the parsha, that Terach lived for 205 years. And the Torah makes it a point to tell us that he died in Haran. Wow. So let's sum up some of the questions that we've had since we started this section. First of all, who is the oldest of Terach's kids? It's an enigma. We would assume Avram, but Nahor seems to go out on his own, right? And Haran has kids first before Avram and Haran has kids first before Avram and Nahor even get married. So what's up with that? And why do we know where Haran was born? The Torah tells us it was Eretz Molad Tobu or Kazdim. What about everybody else? After all, especially since we don't know where Avram was born. It's not spelled out 100% for us, is it? Yes, no? Marv, do you think it's spelled out? Right? No, it's not spelled out. So, and yet our Torah is the Torah of Avram's children. So why do we care about Haran and where Haran was born? And why does Terach marry off Avram and Nahor? Why does he take some of them to Eretz Canaan? And why does he leave? And why does he start at Haran? And why does the Torah want us to know that? Which leads me to a question I used to ask many, many years ago, but stopped asking as I got closer and closer to my doctorate. If I had to analyze Terach, would I put him in the good guy column or the bad guy column? Got an opinion yet? Because I think you may be a little confused. I certainly am. I think, he was a pioneer. He just never made it. He's like the guys who wanted to make it all the way to Florida, but never actually, made it that far. They had to stop along the way, and Ponce de Leon made it all the way down. So, and by the way, since the work of Sefer Bereishis is what? Masa Avos Siman Labanim, says the Ramban. So, of course, if Terach appears in my Chumash as a Masa Avos Siman Labanim, what am I supposed to do? What does it have to do with you and me? What are we supposed to take away from him in my Chumash? Yes? Any other time, any other holiday you can think of when we bring up Terach? Any other Jewish literature other than Parashas Lech Lecha, Noach Lech Lecha? Anyway.
Pesach.
Very good. In what context?
When we talk about
so I'll give you a hint, Marv, right? There are two ways that we identify. We're told on Pesach that we have a responsibility to go maschilin mignus umesaimin bishvach.
That's where I was going, yeah.
Right. We always start in the negative and we always end in the positive. And there's a machlokas in the Gemara Msachim as to what the negative and the positive are all about, right? When is it negative? When is it positive? So one opinion is, the negative is that we were slaves. Avadim hayinu b'leparo b'mitzrayim. And of course, the positive would be that we are now free and we are able to sing the Hallel. But there's a second opinion that says that the real slavery is what? The real slavery is mitchila ovdei avodah zarah hayu avoseinu, that the origins of our people are Be'er Marv as ovdei avodah zarah. And who gets cited as a proof to that? Who is our forefather who started out as an ovdei avodah zarah?
Terach.
Very good. And we quote a pasuk in, of all places, Sefer Yehoshua, and it's the source that I just brought up on the screen. The pasuk says, "Vayomer Yehoshua al kol ha'am, ko amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael." Yehoshua calls the entire nation together. They're first coming into the land of Israel. Yehoshua is getting ready to close up shop. He's about to close his book, and he brings the people together, and he says, "Be'ever Hanar Yeshua voseichem me'olam, Terach Avi Avraham v'Avi Nachor." Right on the other side of the river, that's where your forefathers lived. Who is that? Terach, the father of Abraham and Nachor, by Avdu Elohim Achirim, and they served Avodah Zarah. V'akachas Avichem es Avraham Eiver Anar V'olechot Sobucho Eretz Kanan V'arbez Zaro V'atein Lo Es Yitzchak. Right, and Yehoshua goes on to mention that he took your Avraham from the other side and he brought him into the land of Canaan. Now, if I stopped here, of course, we go on in the Haggadah citing the rest of the Pesukim that Yitzchak had V'atein Lo Es Yitzchak. Yitzchak had Yaakov and Esav. Esav took Har Seir, and Yaakov and his children went down to Mitzrayim. So before letting them settle in the land, Yehoshua reminds them of the Avodah Zarah status of Terach. And of course, I got to ask you why. Why is it so important? Now I have two books. I have Sefer Bereishis, where Terach is identified. And now I have, before Yehoshua goes anywhere, he wants us to know, don't forget, you were once a part of an environment that included a Terach. That seems so strange, right? And we do it also on the Seder night. Why? Why do we have to know about Terach on the Seder night? And by the way, there is obviously some sort of connection between Avodah Zarah and a particular place in the world, namely, the two places, the commonality between Avram Avinu and telling us about Terach and Yehoshua at the particular point in time was that both people were speaking, both episodes took place when? Right before something major happened.
Before they went into Canaan.
Bingo, right? So there must be some connection between Avodah Zarah and Eretz Yisrael. What does that have to do with Terach? Right? Why are we bringing up Terach? So the Ralbag, Rabbi Levi Ben Gershom, right, in his commentary on Sefer Yehoshua, one of the classic commentaries on Navi, says, "Vini zachar lechda Navi masha amar shehifli chazdo Hashem yisavu lanu." He says, "I want you to know that this Navi mentions who kimitchila you kol avonus avoseinu over the avodah zarah." He says, "I want you to know at the beginning, everyone was an obed avodah zarah by a moshavam be'ever hanar." They stayed outside of the land of Israel. V'Hashem Yisbarach lakach misham Avraham Avinu beviu la'aretz Kanan lios ha'aretz ahi nevcheres kidei sheyezar yoter shalem. God took Avraham Avinu, he brought him into Eretz Kanan for what purpose? So that his children should be more complete, right? There's more of a shlemus that happens to a people in Eretz Yisrael. And so therefore, there's not supposed to be any Avodah, Eretz Yisrael doesn't fit with Avodah Zarah. Now, I have two questions on that idea, right? Question number one, ladies and gentlemen, was there ever any Avodah Zarah in the land of Israel?
Of course there was.
All the time. I know we were told that we were supposed to get rid of it. We're told, Abeib Tabdun, as kol ha-mekomos asher avdu shama goyim. But the fact of the matter is that what? That there was Avodah Zarah there, right? So my first question is, Ralbag says that Avodah Zarah and Eretz Yisrael don't fit. Maybe not ideally, But what is it? But to tell me about Terach, right? And to highlight Terach, both as Yoshua is speaking, and also in the reality of the time. Like, frankly, there was Avodah Zarah in the reality of that time also. The Kanani, the Prizi, the Amori, you know, the people living in the land at that point in time were all over the Avodah Zarah. And so therefore, why pick on Terach? And furthermore, if God took Avram Avinu the way that Rabbah says, because he knew that Avodah Zarah and Eretz Yisrael don't fit, can I ask you a question? Who decided to go to Eretz Yisrael first? Terach or Avram Avinu? Now, let's go back again and highlight. Right? Vayikach Terach, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Vayikach Terach es Avram Bino, Ve'eslot Ben Haran Ben Bino, Ve'esarai Kalaso, Ve'esh es Avram Bino, Vayitzu Itam Me'ur Kasdim Lo'leches Arz HaKanan. Who was the leader of that trip? Who was the leader? Who made the decision to go? Well, who took the others? I dare say it was Terach. Now, why would Terach, a clear Oved Avodah Zarah, want to go ahead and do something so strange as to go to a place where Avodah Zarah is not successful? And so I'm curious to know. I still haven't put this guy back together yet. We haven't done that. But let's try to figure it out. Go ahead. You want to say something?
How did he know that it wasn't successful?
It's a good question. Why would he go? What was his reason for going?
Maybe the Avodah Zarah was better over there.
Maybe. But certainly, what about what Yoshua says? And what about the Rabbah? I'm okay with you. So you're advancing a different theory that, yeah, it's possible that Terach wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael, in which case I have to stop and ask myself, well, why? So you want to tell me, what do you mean, well, why? It's good. It's good to be in Eretz Canaan. You could be a pioneer. You know, there are all those missionaries who go to Africa in order to be able to teach Christianity from Europe to the Africans, right, who did not have that religion. So maybe that, you know, that's what Terach was going to do also. He was going to convert them in a different way. So that's a possibility. Why does my Torah want me to know that? Why does Yoshua repeat it? Why do we bring it up on Seder night? By the way, if you adopt Marvin's position, what kind of guy is Terach, good or bad?
Not so good.
Right? It's about to get a lot worse, because I would say the number one thing we know about Terach, right, is what?
That he sold Avodah Zarah, right?
Yes, but I would even go one step further. Rashi in last week's parsha tells us that it was because of Terach that Haran died. Do you remember the story? Look at Rashi in the next source. Look at the slide. Al pnei Terach Aviv bechaye Aviv. Umedrash Agada Yesh Omrim Shal Yidei Aviv Meis. There's a medrash that says that it was because of his father he died. Shekibel Terach al Avram Beno lifnei Nimrod al Shekitei Sestalamav. We'll see the story in a minute, but Terach took Abraham in front of Nimrod to complain. Why? Because he cut down his Avodah Zarah's v'shlichu l'Kirshan Aish, and he threw him into the Kirshan Aish. So what happened? V'haran Yoshev v'omer b'libo im Avram notzeach ani mishelo. Bim Nimrod notzeach ani mishalo. Haran says, I'll do whatever, whoever wins, that's the guy I'm going to follow. P.S., by the way, spoiler alert, Lot shows the same style as his granddaddy, as his father Haran, right? He's also a fence sitter. By the way, that was the very first biblical personality class I ever gave in my life, was on the personality of Lot. Ukishanitza Avram, when Avram Avinu was saved, so Amru lo Haran Mishal Miata, they went to Haran and said, who are you with? Some of them Haran, Mishal Avram Ani, I'm on Avram's team. So Shlichu the Kivshan Aish v'Nisraf, they threw him into the Kivshan and he died. V'zeu Ur Kasdim, that's called Ur Kasdim. So again, who is responsible for the death of Haran? Terach. Had he kept his mouth shut, his kid would have still been alive. And by the way, he why did he do that? Because he chose Avodah Zarah first. Of course, that raises a question for me. What kids stay with their father under those circumstances? Like, let me ask you a question. You're Avram, you're Nahor, you're Milcah, you're Sarai, you're Lot. Who stays with somebody who kills your father? Right? Kind of makes you wonder. There's something that doesn't fit about Terach. So the Medrash goes ahead in the next source, and it tells us that there was once a debate. This is a weird Medrash. It's found in a series of Midrash, and they found in the Cairo Geniza. You're familiar with the Cairo Geniza. It was basically the Seamus box, or the Seamus room in the back of a Cairo shul. So the Geniza brings down, if you want, I could send you the handouts afterwards if you want also. So the Geniza tells a story and says, listen, Mauze, Samarlo, Ben Shinolat Hayom Yinachala Saolam Kulo. He said, wait a second. He says, this child is going to be burned today. He's going to get the whole world. So Nimrod was all nervous about that. So they said, listen, what do we do about such a situation? So he says, we'll kill him. We'll kill the kid. And then what we're going to do is we're going to give the father all the money in the world so that he won't worry about it and show Rachmanis on his child. So Terach was sitting there, second line, Hayat Terach Yoshev Beneim. Amalem Reikim Sheba Olam, he says, you crazy people. Em Sholachem Mashal Ma Davar Doma, let me tell you what this is like. L'ir Pera, it's like a wild city. Sha'amalo Bova Nachto Chazrosh Chavanitein Lecha Kur Shalos Orim. So it's like, quite honestly, it's like saying to somebody, hey, let's cut off your head, but well, don't worry, we'll give you some barley. Who makes a deal like that? He said, he says, this child is going to be born. He says, he's going to be born today. Terach already had some misgivings about the Avodah Zarah system that was being utilized inside the system in Ur Kasdim at that point in time. In fact, the Medrash Rabbah tells the fuller story that what happened. The whole fuller story happened where Terach, who owned an Avodah Zarah shop, and the children all tell the story. It's a great story, right? One time, Terach leaves Avram in charge, and a person came to give some sort of carbon in the Avodah Zarah shop, and so he says, "You're 60 years old, right? And you're like a child, right?" And so the person was embarrassed and left. And then a woman came and she brought some flour also. She said, pick which one it belongs to. So Avram Avinu got up and he cut down all the Avodah Zarahs, right? And then he left the axe in the hands of the largest Avodah Zarah there. So when his father came, he said, what happened? He said, well, what do you want me to do? They had a big fight over the flour that the woman brought. The biggest one among them came along and broke all the Avodah Zarahs. So Terach said, what are you joking with me? He says, you and I both know that this is what you did. So Avraham Avinu says, are your ears not working? Are your ears not capable of hearing what your mouth says? Right, you yourself are saying you know that this is all fake, right? So Nasbeu Masri leNimrod. Terach didn't know what to do with him, so he gave him to Nimrod, right? And so Nimrod says, let's throw him into a fire. So Avraham Avinu uses the same logic again. He says, you're going to throw him? Why throw me into the fire? He says, maybe you should throw me into the water. Water puts out fire, right? So then Nimrod says, okay, we'll throw you into the water. He says, well, if that's the case, you should throw me into a cloud, because a cloud is really stronger than water. It brings water. So he says, okay, we'll throw you into a cloud. So he says, well, if that's the case, you should throw me into the wind. Because what happens? Winds push clouds. So I'm like, Nizgo Larucha, they said, right, let's go. We'll throw you to the winds. So he says, you should give me over to a human being, because a human being can withstand the wind. So he says, and Nimrod says, you're just playing games with me. I serve fire, so I'm throwing you into fire. and let your God come along and go ahead and deal with that. And that's the background story to the Kirshan Aish. Terach, on the one hand, as we saw in the Cairo Geniza, he already started to have misgivings about people going ahead and killing people, right? And where did that misgiving come from? It sounds like Terach, that misgiving came because he was Avram was being unconventional, right? But there are certain things that Terach and Avram seem to disagree about, and there are certain things that they actually Avram disagrees about with Nimrod. Terach at least focuses on the Avodah Zarah. Nimrod and Avram disagree about Nimrod being at the center of the world. I think we made this point in the word before Shabbos for this week, where we mentioned in passing that a lot of the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and a lot of Avodah Zarah is really the service of himself. Nimrod is a classic, at least Terach seemed to have some sort of misgiving in that regard. Which brings me to a question I just realized I forgot to ask. And I'm embarrassed a little bit, or maybe I did it on purpose. There's since I've been here in good old-fashioned Elizabeth Hillside, we've developed a number of corollaries in our shiur. So one of my personal favorites is
the Wanker
corollary, which says that names mean something. So does anyone know what the word Terach means? So if you do a Google search, by the way, there are rock stars in different countries who are called Terach, which I found fascinating, right? But I still don't think they realize what Terach means. The Medrash Haggadah brings down Terach Shertiach Kasa Kadosh Baruch Hu Al Oved Avodah Zarah. Terach means to bring anger, right? So, and how does Terach appear and anger Hashem? He does it through Avodah Zarah. So why is he in my Chumash? Why is he in my Navi Sefer Yoshua? And why does he get initiative points for heading to Eretz Yisrael in my Chumash, right? So what's up with that? So let's take a look at another Rashi, and we'll start to put Terach together. Vayamas Terach Becharan. The very last thing we know about Terach, the place we're going to pick up with him on Shabbos morning, is going to be right here in Parshas Noach. And what are we going to be told? That at the end of Parshas Noach, Terach dies, and then the next day, Avram Avinu gets told Lech Lecha. And actually, Rashi says that's not what happened. La'acha sheyatza Avram mecharan u'bal la'eretz Kanan v'haya Hashem yosem yishish mishana. Terach died after Avram Avinu had left him in Haran, and he was there for more than 60 years. Then Terach died. And Rashi proves it using just the facts of the numbers. Avram was 75 when he left Haran. Terach was 70 when Avram was born, right? Which means that Terach should have been 145 when Avram left Haran, right? Yet, we know Terach lived till 205. Right? Ripe old age of 205. So there were a lot of years, about 60 of them, right? To tell us that why he lived a little bit longer, which begs the obvious question. So why does God kill him off at the end of Parshas Noach instead of waiting to kill him off until the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha? There's 75 years there that are unaccounted for. So the Gemara, so Rashi answers, V'loma hikdim akasim misaso shel Terach, Lisiaso shel Avram, shel yia adavar mefursam lakalas. V'yomer lokeim Avram es kavod aviv shenicho zaking behalachlo. It was done to protect Avram Avinu, right? And lafikach kroa kosav meis, sharashayim af b'chayim kriyim meisim, batzadikim af misasim kriyim chayim. Right? The fact is that the bottom line is you have to be a little bit deeper to figure out the mathematics that we would just put on the table. Rashi tells us, like Katie Couric, and, Lahavdil, of course, the Torah doesn't want us to have people turning around and making negative statements about Avram Avinu, that he showed disrespect to his father, he left the old man, what kind of person does that? You know, instead, HaKadosh Baruch Hu just made it so and made it clear that Avram Avinu, who would have been open to embarrassment, in Terach's house, Hashem showed him a chesed, and in that regard, he turned around and he gave him the opportunity to proceed. Right? And if that's the case, we find similar things in the Medrash as well, that Avraham Avinu couldn't be sober. He couldn't handle living, you know, under those circumstances. But actually, until now, we've developed an understanding that Terach is this really bad person. And so what's the big deal that he left his really bad father? He's a Rasha, Apechayim Kriya Mesim, right? You know, if he was such a terrible, evil person, he was already dead, right? From a halachic perspective. So what am I supposed to take away from Terach? So if I stopped here, I go back to what I call the Simtum Haganenet. I go back to this understanding that Terach is the father of all Avodah Zarah. He got lucky that he had a kid like Avraham Avinu, but that luck ran out because he turned his kids in to be killed, and he got angry. And so why is he in my Chumash? I don't know. I guess it's to show us that from bad, good can still emerge. But if that's the case, I still don't know what Yoshua needed to mention him for. And I don't know what he has to do with Eretz Yisrael. And I still don't know why he was coming to Eretz Yisrael, which is why I want to throw you a totally different perspective. Watch this, Rashi. It appears in this week's Sedra. Rashi tells us that Avraham Avinu was told to go back to his forefathers. Now, what does that mean? He was told to go back to his forefathers. Right? Rashi says that one second, God is telling him, go back, Shuvah Eretz Avosecha. Right? His forefather was an Obed Avodah Zarah. What are you telling me that he should go back to him? Ella, and watch the underline. Marv?
Lametcha Shasa Terach Tshuva.
Uh-oh, Terach was a Baal Tshuva. Right? So now I can start to understand, if Terach's a Baal Tshuva, then all of a sudden, we can start developing a different perspective on who this guy is and what he's supposed to be doing. Right? Who is this guy who's supposed to be this terrible, horrible person? I didn't expect that to happen, but take a look at him now. It sounds like he's a good guy, right? Not just a regular guy. He's a good guy. Marvin, I couldn't resist the pun. I'm sorry. You'll forgive me, right? So if that's the case, what are we supposed to be? Do we have any proof to that? Or is this just what we call a long shot? Is it a long shot for us to assume that Terach was a good guy, right? So the answer is, it's not such a long shot. If you remember back to what we had seen in the when we learned the Psukim, we find something very, very unique, right? Let's take a look again. We had pointed out, like sort of parenthetically, Ripasuk Chav Zayin, the Eile Toldos Terach. Terach Holidas Avram. The name Terach appears two words side by side. Says the Medrash in the Medrash Tanhuma, that's not by accident. We find whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks, this is a Medrash Tanhuma in Parsha Shmos, that Rav Abba Bar Kahana Amar, Komisha Nechbal Shmo Yesh Lo Chelek B'Shnei Olamos. Anybody whose name gets repeated twice, gets a chance at Olam HaZeh and Olam Haba. Noach, Noach, Avram, Avram, Yaakov, Yaakov, Moshe, Moshe, Shmuel, Shmuel. So then the Medrash Tanhuma says, how about our friend Terach? Vaksiv Terach, Terach. Amar Lahem. So Rav Abba Bar Kahana answered, I'll tell you about Terach. Av Terach, Yesh Lo Chelek, Mishnei Olamos. Terach also gets a portion in both Olam HaZeh and Olam Haba. And by the way, Avraham Avinu couldn't die till he knew that Terach was going had cleared onto the good side. You're going to go to your forefathers happily. You'll be able to be buried in a good way. You should just know God told him that your father did tshuva. Now you know he got his name mentioned twice. He was Terach. So so let's get this straight for a second. Terach lives a whole life as an Oved Avodah Zarah, does tshuva at one point, and now he gets to inherit two worlds, Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. What about the first world, Olam Hazeh? Didn't he try to destroy it? So what kind of life is that? What are we taking away from that? So he becomes very challenging. I have a hard time saying Terach's a Rasha. I have a hard time saying that he's not a Rasha. I have a hard time saying that he did tshuva to the point where he would be duly rewarded in Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. I have a hard time saying that he didn't get that way, because otherwise this pasuk about Avraham Avinu in this week's parsha ain't going to fit for me. And I still don't know what Eretz Yisrael has to do with all of it. So the Ibn Ezra sneaks a little comment in over here, right? When did Terach do his tshuva? Says the Ibn Ezra, Yitachin shelo nolad Avram b'or kastim, rak b'makom acher, b'akara nolad sham. That's fine. Zeh tam eretzcha mimoladetcha shamakom shegidalta bo. Sheyada Hashem she'acha she'asa Terach tshuva she'haya obed avodah zara shama ledivrei Hashem, shema ledivrei Hashem libno Avram, v'yitzei l'aches yachtov al eretz kanan kasher tziva Hashem. V'hine yasher b'einav charan says the Ibn Ezra in a rather exciting moment. He says that actually what had happened was, who was the leader of the group going to Eretz Canaan? Not Terach. It was actually Avram Avinu. Terach was an Obed Avodah Zarah his whole life. Then towards the end of his life, he turns around and he listens to his son, Avraham, to go together with his son to Eretz Canaan. And he says, wow, that's great. And he tries. And then he says, I'm tired. Right? I'm tired. I can't go any further. I've made it this far. That's good enough for my life. I'm done. The Ramban takes him to town, because the Ramban has a very hard time accepting that Terach actually does tshuva. But he entertains the possibility maybe Terach did tshuva on his deathbed, and maybe he gets some sort of schus banim. But usually we don't give something to somebody as a schus because of his children. Maybe schus avos. But schus banim, haven't heard that one used too much. So Mishnas Rabbi Eliezer, which is a small group of Midrashim, comes along and shows that actually there's a very strong connection here. He says, Nasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Gedula L'Terach V'Kiblo B'Tshuva. God actually did a big favor to Terach. He raised him and he had him accepted the tshuva. Amru kolosan hashanim shahaya oved tzlamin. They said all those years he was oved avodah zarah. The lulei shekibel hakadosh baruch hu tshuva, so had God not accepted his tshuva, lo haya omer le'avram v'ata tavol avosecha b'shalom. L'shum machatzav to'imo, to say that he was going to be together with him. You also have to understand, Terach and Avram shared this vision for the land of Israel. It's not a hazard. They shared something special. So there's a connection between father and son, according to the Mishnah Eliezer. And what is that connection? It's right here in the love of the land of Israel. The love of the land of Israel and the recognition of the spirituality there, and the fact that somehow you have to attain a certain level of kedusha, of connection to God, is something that it sounds like, if we adopt the position that Terach had done tshuva, that Terach and Avraham shared. And by the way, that's not only true for people in those times, that's true in modern times as well. There's a wonderful work called the Shalos Tshuvas Afraksa De'Anya. The Shalos Tshuvas Afraksa De'Anya was written by one of the great Gedolim of Romania. He was Rav David Ben Rabar Klonimus Ferber. And after the Holocaust, he was dealing with the Aguna crises. And in 1950, for the last 12 years of his life, he lived in Eretz Yisrael. In Tshuva Kuf Mem Gimel, the first volume of Afraksa De'Anya, Rav Sperber was asked the question as to what levels somebody must have when one wants to make aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. Is there something that has to be in his or her mind? So he writes a beautiful, beautiful tshuva. But
But there's one key line in here that I find so so important to where and what we know. Ki ein adam zocha l'diras eretz Yisrael im lo lahaloch ela biglala. You can't go to Israel to hide in Israel. When one makes aliyah, one moves forward. One doesn't just get away. Ach vayikach terach lebroch meor kastim shehushlach bo Avraham v'acha shahaya lebroch min ha'esh v'lo achibas ha'aretz alkein gam shahaya l'alach ha'zaret zakanan im kozeh v'yavo atcharam v'yishav sham. Rav Sperber says that there was a fundamental difference between Avraham Avinu and his father Terach. Whereas we had seen in the Mishnah Rabbi Eliezer, they both wound up wanting to go to the land of Israel, but they went with two different ideas in mind. Avraham Avinu wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. You know why he wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael? Because God told him to go. And he understood that Ufaratsta Yama Vakedma Tzafona Vanegba, he was told that great things are going to be here. And he knows that wherever he goes, he's going to be able to l'chol zarachat nena, and he knows that that's God's special place. That's called chibas haaretz. That's what a Zionist is. A Zionist moves to Eretz Yisrael because he understands the chibas haaretz, which means that the very first Zionist was Avraham Avinu, not Theodore Herzl, which is not a shocker to us. But he adds, people who think that they are using Eretz Yisrael as a means to hide from the rest of the world, they don't have the same level of commitment. And since they don't have the same level of commitment, you get a credit for wanting to be in the land of Israel, but you don't get a credit for being the leader who brings it that far. That is to say, you're not the one who leads to get to Eretz Yisrael. Sometimes, if you're not careful, you're not going to be able to be the one who finishes. They say in the name of Rav Yitzchak of Vorki that someone once came to see him during one of the aliyot of the Talmidei Agra. And he said, this individual came to say to him, you know what, I couldn't make it in the land of Israel. And so therefore I have to go home. And Rav Yitzchak of Vorki apparently went back to the individual and said to the individual, oh yeah, I'm so sorry that Eretz Yisrael rejected you. So not you reject Eretz Yisrael. When you go in with a chibas haaretz, Eretz Yisrael doesn't reject you. And that's one of the differences between Terach and Avraham. Terach went as a back door to sneak out, to hide. Yeah, he needed to get there because he had changed ideology, and for that he gets credit. And yeah, it's true, he killed a lot of people, and for that he gets a demerit. But when you're standing on the cusp of Eretz Yisrael, whether you are standing in the time of Terach and Avraham, or whether you're standing in the time of Yehoshua, about to bring a whole nation inside, or whether you're standing in the year Tashin Pei Beis, a person has to stop and say to himself, what am I doing? And how am I approaching my Yiddishkeit? How am I approaching my Avas Haaretz? Am I backing into being Jewish? Am I backing into my Chibas Haaretz? It's not the way that you're going to be a leader. And it's not the way that things endure, because come the first challenge, you're out the door. Or are you going to turn around and take the bull by the horns and be a leader and be somebody who steps up to the plate? And this, I believe, Rashi turns around and highlights in a different context. There's a strange Rashi that appears in the middle of a Gemara that has nothing to do with Terach. The Gemara is dealing with the question of another great Jewish leader. His name was Shlomo HaMelech. And there are a series of storylines that have been written about this Gemara, because Shlomo HaMelech had a great big battle with Ashmedai, the king of the Shadim. And in that context, Rashi makes a certain comment about the word Terach. And I think it's quite likely more important and more descriptive of who Terach was. Rashi says, Terach, Balashon Arami Ichur. Terach in Aramaic means to be delayed. Now, boom. Look at this idea. If you're a follower, or the one who goes la'achar, or you're the one who's late to the party, then you lose out. You don't get full credit. You get some credit. You're able to be nochel olam hazeh and olam haba, but you don't make it into Eretz Yisrael. You don't get a chance to go ahead and become the leader who leads the people. And so therefore, mitchila uvdei avodah zara hayu avoseinu, even though he goes into olam haba. And it's an important lesson for you and me as well. Because so much of our lives is people standing and waiting and saying to themselves, I'm waiting to see. I'm waiting to join. I'm waiting to have the peace. When you wait that early in the morning or that late at night, you're waiting with terach. Stop waiting. Have ideals. Have shitos. Live a life. Be somebody who can be strong. This is what terach teaches us. When we're building a masa avo siman labanim, don't be delayed. Be real and be here today. That's what Terach is all about. Okay? Any questions?